What would you do if you saw a strange light descend in the forest? Would you give a piece of crucial evidence to a stranger that demanded it? What was seen hovering in the sky in the UK in 1980? Today, we test the believability of the Rendlesham Forest UFO incident.
Welcome to Believing the Bizarre,
where we dive into the unknown and the unusual
and tell you whether or not we find it believable.
That is right. It's Tuesday, but above that, we are back. We are back to recording, back in my attic. We're both back from our vacations. This is as live as it gets besides Halloween for us. Like, it's back to recording week of.
Yeah.
No more batch recording.
On the fronts. Tips,
yeah, fronts,
corners,
on the precipice of the next Tuesday.
The very edge of our seats. That's what it is.
I had a little tickle in my throat yesterday and I woke up sounding like a frog. So
sounds like a little man's in there going,
just like a jackhammer right in my throat. But I'm drinking tea and I'm going to try and get through this episode because I'm really excited about it because it's UFOs. I'll be honest, coming from New Mexico and visiting Roswell, I kind of felt like I had to do a Roswell
episode. I was going to say, you could have done Roswell.
I didn't feel like I had enough time. Coming back over the weekend and then recording today, which is Thursday, fun fact, it just felt like it would have been rushed. There's so much to Roswell. So I thought, why not do UK's Roswell? Because that's what it's known as.
I know this one very well. I started researching this one.
Really?
It's
on your drive.
I started this one. I got halfway through and said, we'll do something else right now.
Well, we're going to do it right now.
That's good.
But before we get to the episode, I do want to shout out. We got new merch. Every now and then we drop something a little new. And today, if you look on probably either Instagram, social media, go to our website, believingthebizarre.com, we have a new shirt. If you've been listening long enough, you probably know that Charlie and I say certain things. One of the things that I've said for a while is bad juju. Anytime someone's doing something they shouldn't be, opening up doors they shouldn't be opening or going down dark hallways, it's bad juju.
I was very surprised by where you're going with we say certain things.
We do. So shout out designer Jalen. She killed it.
It looks really cool.
It's like a foresty.
Yeah, we gave her the vaguest of designs.
I said Blair Witch, go.
I said Crucible.
Metal. Yeah. Crucible metal, and I want the branches to say bad juju.
Yeah.
It's cool. There's like a little fire. The branches spill out the term bad juju. I think it's dope.
It's very cool.
So go check that out. But with that said, let's get into this week's episode. Man, I can't get over it. My voice is so deep. Like, I feel like I'm going like
it's very hoarse.
I'm going like a radio, not a DJ, not a disc jockey. What are they? A radio broadcaster? What is it like?
Yeah. Like someone who talks on the radio.
Yeah, what is that?
Radio man.
A radio. What about radio women?
A radio person.
I feel like a radio person. Like, hey, you're tuning in to WBTB
11100.
Yeah, 11100 on a Tuesday. And also, if you want to hear about our awesome trips, Charlie's cruise and my trip to New Mexico, it's on Patreon.
It is.
If you go to Patreon, search Believe in the Bizarre, it is our middle tier, our Bizarros tier. You can hear all about our trips in
detail.
There
are two installments.
Yeah, we didn't want to rush it. But that said, let's get into this week's episode, the Rendlesham Forest incident. So just a little bit about the forest. And a lot of this is going to be stuff apparently you already know. So feel free to chime in.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's turn this into a discussion.
There are trees there.
There are. The Rendlesham Forest is owned by the Forestry Commission and has plantations, has wetland areas. It's about 5.8 square miles.
It has plantation?
Yeah. Well, there's farms and stuff nearby.
Oh, okay. I was like,
yeah.
We going back to the 1800s here?
Nope, 1980.
Okay.
And like I said at the top, this is like Great Britain's Roswell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although,
which I don't.
It's American.
It is American. It's an American Air Force base.
Yeah, we go in there and we find the aliens in UK. They couldn't even find their own aliens.
That, you know, it's when you see that picture of all the UFO sightings in the United States. It's like, even when we go elsewhere, we're still the ones that see them.
Oh, it's crazy how we found them. Maybe there's a problem with you guys.
They're too busy drinking tea.
Tea and crumpets.
They're not drinking crumpets. Oh, maybe they are. They're crumpling
putting them
it up in
their
tea. I'm drinking tea right now.
Oh, that's good. Not the same.
Also takes place in Suffolk, which is the Vanishing House area.
Is it? I thought that was...
It was Ruffham, but that's the Suffolk.
Oh, was it? Okay.
It was Suffolk County. I don't know.
Suffolk.
This is me pretending like I know. Maybe there's like 15 Suffolk over there.
I don't know.
There's Suffolk. There's prefix. Anyway, like you said, this all takes place by two former military bases. There's RAF, RAF Bentwaters, which is north of the forest. And there's RAF, RAF Woodbridge, which extends into the forest from the west.
That's confusing.
Yeah, it's RAF. I would say RAF West and RAF North. I don't know. That's just how I would say it. Or they probably just say Bentwaters or Woodridge. I don't know.
Actually, yeah, they probably just leave off the RAF part.
Yeah, that's like formal, right?
Yeah.
Like if I called you Charles Armstrong.
Yeah.
But I just, mother chucker. So these military bases were being used by United States Air Force, and it is these U.S. Air Force personnel that had this experience. Just a little tidbit. In a lot of the articles, which I'll shout them out, Psychology Today, History.co.uk, and Mysterious Universe. I think there's another one, but we'll stick with those.
You looked at me like I had the answer.
No, I'm sorry. I'm very conscious that I don't know a lot about the military. I'm not proud of it, but a lot of the articles that I read said servicemen. I never want to be the person that's like, yeah, some military people. And they're like, it's not military, it's Air Force. I want to be as vague as possible because I don't want to get it wrong.
I mean, we're not from that culture.
Right, but I don't want to get it wrong. You know what I mean?
Well, that's...
So a lot of what I read was servicemen. So I'm going to be saying servicemen a lot because I don't want to say like military personnel when it's Air Force service video. I don't know. I'm just being very honest about that.
Plain boys? Yeah, it's Air Force.
People who aren't colorblind.
Plain boys. Yeah.
There might be a way. And so the Air Force base commander was Colonel Ted Conrad, and his deputy was Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt, who we're going to be talking about quite a bit.
Charles Holt is a big figure in this.
He is.
Figure?
Player.
Yes.
Serviceman? Plain boy.
Plain boy. Yes.
Plain boy. So with that said, are you ready to get into the incident?
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Yeah. So let's start. This is a 2-day thing. It's a 2-day event. Well, it's not, it doesn't take 2 days.
Right.
Actually, it does. Technically, it does. But there's two separate days of experiences. And this is one of those funny things where I saw two reports of two different days and they're both correct. And I'll explain why.
Okay.
So you could say that it took place on December 26, 1980, but it was at 3 a.m. So technically, it was the 27th, but they hadn't gone to sleep yet,
right.
I would assume, unless they took like a power nap.
I don't think
before
so.
Before hunting some aliens. So it was technically the 27th, but it was the night of the 26th.
Okay.
December 26/27, 1980.
I believe that's Boxing Day.
Really?
The 26th. Yes, it's Boxing Day.
What do you do? Do you just box?
I think you like get all your stuff from Christmas. And you put them in boxes.
Boxing. I was like, are we talking about Jake LaMotta? Are we talking about Sugar Ray Leonard?
No, because it's the day after Christmas is Boxing Day in the UK.
Oh.
And I think they take all their stuff, like cookies and...
Throw it away.
Clothes, and they put it in boxes, and they store them.
For next year.
I can't. It's the same present over.
I knew what I'm getting Charlie next year.
I don't know if that's right or not. But.
So it's the 1980s. It's 1980 to be exact. And these servicemen are hanging around the base doing whatever it is that they may be doing. And around 3 a.m., a security patrol near the east gate of RAF Woodbridge claimed to see strange lights descend into the Rendlesham Forest. Now, anyone would probably be a little bit alarmed, but naturally, these are Air Force personnel. So they're probably a little bit always more on high alert. Like this is a pretty important airbase in a different country.
Yeah.
So anything coming from the sky, they're going to be very interested in, to say the least. And they were also thinking maybe this is something that crashed.
This is also during the Cold War too.
It is.
So they're like, oh shit, it's Russia.
Chile. Yeah.
The We're very, very cold here.
That's why they didn't want to talk about this for 3 years.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about it. You're not talking. Actually, living during the Cold War would be very scary.
Yeah.
Did it go? How many years did that go? It was like.
It was a long time.
20 years?
Yeah. It was like a long time. Jeez. We probably have to look that up to be specific, but
I feel like it started in the mid 60s, but I could be wrong.
Yeah. I think you could say it started after the space race or during the space race, which is.
The only reason I know 60s is because I swear to God, Metal Gear Solid at the beginning was like 1964.
That makes
the
sense.
The start of the Cold War.
I bet that's right.
Liquid. I can actually sound like Snake now because of my voice.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to the aliens at hand. So they were pretty sure it wasn't a shooting star, wasn't anything like that. Maybe it was some other country's ship. Maybe a ship crashed. I say ship because I'm thinking UFO. For them, it's probably like aircraft.
Yeah.
But anyways, they're like, hey, we should probably go check that out because it seemed pretty intentional. It looked like it intentionally descended. So a group of servicemen decided to go investigate. And as they headed into the Rendlesham Forest, they noted that animals at a nearby farm started going a little hysterical. They were yelling. It's rough.
The animals were yelling. The animals were like, oh!
They were going, I can't breathe. Please help me. I can't breathe. Did the you see the aliens?
The cow there going, move, shit.
Move over, there's an alien. No, they're like freaking out. They're screaming. They're running. In ways that these servicemen have never seen before, like literally like a frenzy, and it was unsettling to say the least. And when they got in the forest, it wasn't what they expected to see. They didn't see another aircraft. They didn't see signs of a U.S. aircraft, a U.K. aircraft, anything like that. But they did see a landing area where it was clear that something came down this forest and landed here. They could see branch debris, a bunch of broken branches all around. They could see marks in the ground. And they also claimed to feel like a strange heat radiating through the area.
Mm.
And at this point, the animal's hysterics ramped up even more. And at that point, they saw a very small, glowing, metallic object with red-colored lights. And they were awestruck. It was moving side to side, and it seemed to have a dark, hollow center in the middle. They said it was almost like an eye winking at them, the way that this little red light was blinking. And at first, it started moving north, and then the flying object started to get closer and closer to them, and it seemed as though a beam of light was coming down to the ground from this little orb. They couldn't believe what they were seeing. Shortly, it was out of sight, leaving the men dumbfounded about what they just witnessed. So that was at 3 a.m. So now at 4 a.m., they got back out of the forest, back to the base, and they called the local police. However, when the police arrived, it was gone, and they couldn't see it, so there was no sign of any aircraft, there was no glowing light. All they could see was the Orford Ness Lighthouse, which was about 5 miles away from where they were at in the forest. So confused, a little bit disturbed, the servicemen decided to sleep on this experience, and they were going to investigate more when they had the sun light to assist them.
The cops came out and said, hello, we're the local bobbies, eh? that lighthouse is out there about 5 bingity bongs.
Must have been what you saw.
Have a good day.
It's funny because sometimes the cops call the Air Force and they don't do anything, and sometimes the Air Force calls the cops and they don't do anything. We've sometimes seen both of that.
Just want to go to sleep, you know?
They're like, hey, you know what time it is? So what are your thoughts so far? Now, obviously, I don't know. Do you know the whole thing? Like,
yeah.
That was familiar.
Yeah, I know the whole thing.
I think I have some stories you don't know.
From Rendlesham?
Yeah, I do.
All right. I'm interested.
You heard about Jenny? You know about Jenny?
I know Jenny from the block.
You know Jenny?
Maybe I don't know Jenny.
You don't know what happened with Jenny. You don't know.
So what do I think so far?
Yeah, what do you think so far? Pretend like you don't know what happens.
So I feel like the eye, right?
Yeah.
He's like, you said small.
Mm-hmm.
Feels almost like it's like a spy drone. I feel like I've seen a movie where like a character takes out an eye and like Whoa. Flies around and stuff.
Oh, see, I was thinking like Darth Maul and the little orbs, the Sith probe droids.
Oh, yeah, that's probably. Yeah, but I'm thinking like it's kind of like a spy drone, right? Like it's yeah. like supposed to be small enough where it won't get noticed.
You know what's crazy is I saw one article and it had all this good detail about them seeing this huge aircraft and it was insane. And then I cross-checked it and nothing else had that. And I was so into it. I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is their Roswell. And then I looked everywhere else and I listened to some audio that we'll get to later. And I was just like, nope. That's what we call fake.
Yeah.
So anyways, next morning, they went back into the forest to see if there were any clues as to what they might have experienced. And what they found, they thought, was pretty startling. In the clearing inside the forest, they found three small yet significant impressions on the ground, and they seemed to be in a triangular pattern. So these impressions are where they're assuming that some type of aircraft landed. Along with that, many of the tree branches in the area were either broken or seemed to be burned, like singed by something that was incredibly hot.
That reminds me of Travis Walton.
It reminds me of the Dyatlov Pass.
Yeah.
Like when you start looking at like the different areas, and they were talking about they felt the heat too.
Yeah.
Like they didn't see the heat on like the burned branches at night, but they did feel like a radiating heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they call the police again. They have to be like, you call them. I don't want to call them. You call them. Oh, geez, do I have to? Yeah, you have to.
You're pretty embarrassing.
Private. Private plain boy. So they called the police because they thought they had more evidence now. But the police apparently kind of shrugged it off, claimed that it could have been made by an animal.
Cut to this guy jumping in the forest, going, look at the trees. And the cops are like, oh, good day. Have a good night.
Must have been the bunnies.
Must have been.
Yeah. So here's a couple statements made from some witnesses from that evening. This is a quote from Ed Cabinsag. It was given in 1997 to a researcher named James Easton, but this was somebody who was there that night. So he said, quote, we figured the lights were coming from the past forest since nothing was visible when we passed through the woody forest. We would see a glowing near the beacon light, but as we got closer, we found it to be a lit up farmhouse. We got to the vantage point where we could determine that what we were chasing was only a beacon light off in the distance. So he's saying, unquote, basically there was a light that they were chasing. So it's a little bit different from what Halt, because just being transparent, a lot of the first encounter comes from Halt. We'll get to that in a little bit. Another serviceman, John Burroughs, reported a noise, quote, like a woman screaming, quote, and also that you could hear the farm animals making lots of noises, unquote.
I know Holt's got a book.
He has a book. Like, he's been interviewed.
Holt's book's like 1,000 pages.
No, that's like it.
It's a tome.
Oh, jeez. Some Moby Dick right there. All right, let's move on to the second day and the second encounter. So day 2, December 28th, or again, December 29th. The night of the 28th, uh-huh. But the morning of the 29th.
Okay.
2 nights after the original sighting, the deputy base commander, Lieutenant Colonel Charles Halt, visited the location in the Rendlesham Forest with another few servicemen where they witnessed this strange aircraft. And once again, heading into the forest, they hear these farm animals go off in a frenzy. It was also very early again. It was between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., and they took radiation readings of the triangle impressions and the surrounding area.
Mm.
They used AN-PDR-27, which means nothing to me.
It's not a thing.
It's nothing.
It means it could have been not that.
It means they probably didn't buy it on Amazon, but it apparently is standard U.S. military radiation survey reading.
Is it still?
Oh, I don't know.
It was at the time, I assume.
Yeah, this is 43 years ago. So.
Yeah.
Which is crazy that the 80s were 43 years ago.
Mm-hmm. It was a good chunk of time.
Yeah. But there was nothing too alarming according to their readings, but they did detect a small burst over 0.5 mile away from the original landing site. During this radiation investigation, Hall and all the other men witnessed a flashing light to the east, almost directly in line with the farmhouse and all the animals. However, it's important to note that this is also the same direction as the large, bright lighthouse, the Orford Ness. East, same direction. Shortly after seeing this light, they witnessed 3 star-like lights in the sky. One was to the south, and 2 of them were to the north. They estimated that the lights were about 10 degrees from the horizon. They hovered for about 2 or 3 hours, and at one point, Halt noticed a stream of light seeming to beam down it again. that was the end of their experiences.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But you already knew that. I did. Yeah. Oh, wow. No way. It's like you're watching a movie you like for the second time.
This is the part of Lord of the Rings where Aragorn kicks the helmet and he breaks his foot.
Oh, yeah. In real life, yeah, right? Yeah. Gets a lot of arrows in him.
Boromir does.
Oh, who'd you say? Aragorn?
Aragorn.
Oh, which film was it?
That's then? In the second one where he breaks his foot on the helmet.
I love the music in the second one.
Me too.
That's actually my favorite. That one's my favorite. So let's get to the Halt memo, because this is the dude. We're talking Charles Halt is taking this over.
Yeah.
And this is a prized piece of evidence. And it's cool because we're living in not 1980.
Yeah.
We're living in 2023. As of the recording of this podcast. So you can go on YouTube and you can literally listen to this. And I did.
Yeah. He feels very passionate. Yeah.
He does. He's very, very passionate about what he experienced and what he thinks he experienced. So about a week or so later, Lieutenant Colonel Halt detailed all the events in a memo to the UK Ministry of Defense, which is so Harry Potter. Ministry of Defense.
Yeah.
If you ever quizzed me like 15 years ago, I'm like, is this a Harry Potter term or real life? I would have lost that quiz.
Ministry of Defense is definitely a, could be both, honestly.
Yes. So he recorded this after, but he was also, I think it's just part of his investigation. Like, so he wasn't a paranormal investigator. Like he, you know, this kind of changed his life, but due to his normal process, when he did go investigate things such as the light in the Rendlesham Forest, he took audio memos. Like he would take a tape recorder and he would record what he's saying. But I highly recommend going on YouTube and searching Rendlesham Forest, Charles Halt memo, or the Halt tapes or Halt memo, because you're literally hearing him witnessing these events that we just talked about in real time.
This is the first light bird we've seen. We're about 150 or 200 yards from sight. Everyone else is just deathly calm. There is no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead. There's yellow. I saw yellow tinge in it too. Weird. It appears that he may be moving a little bit this way. Yes, it's bright on half that.
Yellow.
It's coming this way. It is definitely coming this way. Come on. Okay, looking at the thing, we're probably about 200 to 300 yards away. It looks like an eye winking at you. Still moving from side to side. And when you put the star scope on it, it sort of has a hollow center, a dark center. It's like a pupil of an eye looking at you and winking. And the flash is so bright to the star scope that it almost burns your eye.
And it's not like me setting the stage telling it. It's like a real dude really experiencing, like, oh my God, it's like, it's blinking at me. It's the crazy. Is that a light? There's a light. It's getting closer. Like it's that type of urgency. Like mm-hmm. It has that urgency to it.
Well, I put those Barney Betty Hills recordings in those.
Yeah. But I can't remember if we got flagged on YouTube for that.
We might have
as well. We might have. Anyway. So he wrote all this down. He was trying to make sense of everything to the best of his abilities. And like I said, this memo, these tapes are one of the few legitimate resources and evidence that we have from the Rendlesham Forest incident. And he was convinced that what he and the other servicemen experienced was otherworldly. And at this point, they decided to keep everything pretty hush-hush from the public, which is no surprise. The only folks that knew about it were the servicemen, the local police, not that they cared, the Ministry of Defense, and probably the farm animals.
Yeah.
However, there might have been a couple other people that knew about it, a couple other people that showed up in town, a couple people that might have been wearing black suits.
Men or women.
Men or women. In this case, men.
Okay.
Not Tommy Lee Jones or Will Smith.
Unfortunately.
Smack this UFO. So these men in black suits, let's call them. Men in black? Men in black suits.
Mibs.
Yeah. They visited a worker of the forest named Vince Thurkettle. And they just like were slamming him with questions about whether
they make fun of his name?
No, they didn't make fun of his name. They're probably not from here, so they don't know if it's a silly name or not.
I guess that's true.
So they were just slamming with questions of whether or not he saw anything during those two nights. And here's a quote. Quote, they said, did you leave the house at all? Did you see anything? And I said, what? And they said, oh, there's a report of some red lights in the forest. We're just checking. And the two of them, very politely but firmly, asked me probably about 20 questions. I thought they were journalists. They suddenly said, oh, well, fair enough. There's probably nothing in it. And they left. So I bought papers every day for the next few days to see what was going on, try and figure it out. And of course, there was nothing, unquote.
That's so crazy. That's insane. What were you eating the night of the 28th?
At 3 a.m.
Were you dreaming about aliens?
Were you running around a farm scaring chickens and billy goats? Did you ever brought your flamethrower out in the forest and singe trees?
Did you ever take your eye out and throw it in the woods?
And blink at people? It was 3 years later, in 1983, that Halt's Amendment was released to the public by the U.S. government. We were like, get it out there. Who cares? This is not our country. That's not what they said. But it became a massive news story and made Rendlesham Forest the UFO capital of the United Kingdom. Like I said, it's kind of their Roswell. They even made a UFO trail in the forest.
Oh, did they? I was going to say, were they like, thanks, an avocado, or they're like super into it?
No, they were into it. They're like, oh yeah, this is UFO trail. I don't know where that goes.
UFO trail.
It'd be cool if it was just a circle. It's just like, oh, you made the spaceship loop.
It'd be cool if they put like aliens in the trees and stuff.
They should have that. Like,
you still can.
See, that's the difference. United States, we would have totally like branded it and made it like a tourist trap.
Yeah, that is the difference, I think.
I think UK is just like, oh, we'll honor it. And we're like, profit, money. Halt's written some books, like you said. He's done interviews. And even in the last 10 years, he's gone on record again saying that he believes that it was something extraterrestrial that they witnessed and that both teaming up, tag team, handicap match style, the UK and the US governments were doing their best to cover it up.
Were they? They let it out.
Yeah, but I think it was letting it out in a way that they could control the way that it was let out.
So like when you like the air out of a balloon, you're just like
a little bit
and then versus like, psh.
I think it's when you know shit's going to hit the fan. So you want to get around it first. Like you release something so you can control the narrative before it gets released and you're playing like defense.
Okay.
That's just I have no idea.
Kind of like the Phoenix Likes, right? When the guy came out in the alien suit.
Yeah, he's like, oh, if we make fun of it first and we show it's ridiculous, then...
I don't even think I'm kidding. I think that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What if someone shot that alien?
In real life?
It was Arizona.
Yeah,
that's
true. They're
packing.
It's true.
It's like a joke gone wrong.
Oof.
We'll have the intern do it.
It was like a big dude. He was like he was in the government. Like
big intern.
Yeah, I remember who it was. Yeah.
So in 1984, a copy of what is known as the Halt Tape was released to UFO researchers by Colonel Sam Morgan, whoever that is. Again, this memo, aka the Halt Tape, chronicled Halt's investigations in the force in real time. Go check it out. Including taking radiation readings, the sighting of the flashing lights between the trees and the star-like objects that hovered and twinkled. So there's skepticism, there's sources, but before we get to that, I have a few odd stories for you, three of them, and I'm hoping that at least two of them, I'm going to say 66%, I'm hoping that these will be two new things that you haven't heard about this case.
Okay, I'm excited here.
So the first of our three odd stories involves Sergeant Jim Peniston. When I look at the word sergeant, it just reminds me how much people probably hate learning the English language.
Peniston? Okay, so I was listening to, I was podcasting left. They did this.
Recently?
Within a couple of years.
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
No. But they talk about this guy, Peniston.
So you know what I'm going to say?
No, I don't know exactly what you're going to say, but the last name made me think of it, Penis Town. Peniston.
Oh, jeez.
Penis Town. Okay.
I could see that, I guess. So this was one of the men from the Air Force Base, Jim Peniston, and he decided in the 1990s to throw caution to the wind and go under hypnotic regression to see if maybe there's anything about their experience that he buried deep inside.
That is 0 to 60. That's crazy.
Yeah. And like, it took him like 10 years. He's like, you know what?
I don't care about my mental health anymore. Yeah.
He wanted to recall this deeply buried information that might explain what was going down. And just as a quick reminder, and this is, you know, when I listed my sources at the top and I said psychology, whatever, whatever. This is from that.
Okay.
Hypnotic regression is the process by which you enter a trance and recall material from deep inside that is normally not available to the conscious mind.
Okay.
Yeah. So while under hypnosis, allegedly, Peniston stated that our presumed aliens are, in reality, visitors from a far-flung future, and that future is very dark, in infinitely deep trouble, polluted, and where the human race is overwhelmingly blighted by reproductive problems. The answer to those same massive problems, Peniston was told by the entities that he met in the woods is that they travel into the distant past or our current present day to secure sperm, eggs, and chromosomes, all as a part of an effort to try and ensure the continuation of the waning human race of tomorrow.
When did he meet entities in the woods?
Yeah, even Halt's like, whoa, calm down now. Like, I'm fighting to make this believable, and you're out here saying...
Wow.
It's almost... Okay.
I've heard that theory, though. I wonder if this is where it came from, though.
The only thing I could think of is two scenarios, which I'll be honest, I don't talk about anywhere else in this episode. Like, this is kind of off the cuff. Well, Halt did say that he saw a light come down.
Uh-huh.
So maybe...
Yeah.
Some stuff happened, and they got... pulled somewhere else.
Yeah.
Not reported in the memo, but maybe they hit pause. You know, you can hit pause.
You can hit pause on
or
stuff.
You could delete it part of it, like, yeah, erase that part.
Yeah, I was erase the part where I say no, not my butt.
Or they're like, no, keep that. We'll put that at the end of the episode. That's the blooper.
That's the blooper.
Yeah. Which I hope you all do listen to the very, very end after the outro music. Because sometimes Charlie does play some fun bloopers there.
I do.
Spoiler.
There was a good one last time.
Yeah. Or so, okay, potentially that happened. That's the extreme. I mean, both of these are extreme. The only other thing I could think of is that whatever was flying the aircraft tried to telepathically talk to him, and he wasn't able in his conscious state to receive it.
Oh.
But his body received it, but he didn't, because there's nothing about contact here. He just knew what they were doing.
Yeah, I like that idea.
All he's saying is that he knew they were here because in the future, we're having trouble reproducing and things are really bad. So they're coming here to get sperm chromosomes and all that. So they told him, but in his state of shock, in our normal, we're just not receptive.
That's like the equivalent of like you seeing your friend drive by and you just wave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, is that?
No, it's not.
It sounded right when you said it, and then I thought about
it. It's not really.
Yeah.
But I like my analogy.
No, it's like when someone tells you something, and you're like, okay, and then you think about it later in the shower, and you're like, oh, is that what they were saying? I don't know. It's not like that either. I've never talked to an alien, so I don't know what it's like.
I don't either.
But I haven't gone through regression therapy. And no interest in that.
Oh, God.
No interest in that.
Remember when you were so freaked out during the Woman in Black episode?
Yeah.
Why have you repressed some stuff?
No, dude. No.
Don't even say that. No. Don't even make the joke.
So our second odd story is Jenny Randles.
Okay.
Do you know anything about Jenny?
I don't.
Okay, cool. So Jenny Randles, along with Brenda Butler, were researchers, early researchers, in the Rendlesham Forest incident. And she ended up getting her hands on a copy of Halt's tape.
Okay.
And this is, pre-YouTube, so it's not like anybody could just go to YouTube and listen to it. Like, if you had a copy of the tape, you physically had a copy of the tape, which is pretty
dope. Were they from the UK or are they from America?
Doesn't say.
Okay.
It just says they were early researchers. Here's a quote from her. A number of sources on base told us that a taped record of some of the activity was made. We were given a description and knew by early 1983 that it was recorded in the forest during the night of the encounters, featuring officers and men who were seeing various UFOs, unquote. Well, we already knew, but it's her quote. In her mind, especially once the tape surfaced publicly in 1983, 3 years after the incident, she felt that it confirmed all the rumors and the stories coming out of the base around that time regarding what weird, unusual things they witnessed. Essentially, the firsthand accounts and testimonies from the Air Force base servicemen. So, in 1988, Jenny was reached out to by a journalist. The journalist said that they were working on a documentary. Do you say documentary or documentary?
Documentary.
That's good. Keep it that way. he was working on a documentary with the BBC, and the main subject was going to be about UFOs and the Rendlesham incident.
Okay.
The documentary was intended to air on BBC in December of that year, 1988. So with Jenny being a researcher and having a copy of the Halt tape, he felt it was prudent that he spoke with her. Jenny agreed to be in the interview because in her mind, it was more exposure for the incident, which was a good thing. So the man arrived. He had very professional equipment that apparently Jenny had previously seen herself dealing with BBC staff. So she saw it. It was credible. Mm-hmm. It was a lot, but she's like, okay, cool. This is my opportunity to kind of speak about this stuff. This is good. So as he was setting up the interview, he advised Jenny that the documentary would be focused on the Rendlesham Forest case, and all manner of questions were intended for her to display her expertise, her knowledge, and her opinions on what happened at that time. And the name that he said, his name was Tom Adams. During the course of the interview, Tom's entire focus shifted to the Hall tapes, knowing that she had a copy of it. But not just a copy of it, he believed that she had the original tape. He requested that Jenny give him the tape so that he could use it for the BBC project. And Jenny quickly denied his request, immediately saying no, although she suggested that she could make him a copy of the tape. And while this seemed like a fair middle ground to Jenny, Tom didn't budge. He became more aggressive in asking that she give him the original Hall tape. He claimed that it was crucial that he had the original tape. She went on to say that she likely didn't even have the original tape anyway. It was very likely that the military copied it and gave her a different one than the original altogether. But this didn't sway Tom. He kept asking for it. Eventually, Jenny gave in and told him that she would give him the original tape. However, unbeknownst to Tom, she made a copy of her copy previously. So he got like a third-hand copy.
Okay.
She kept the copy that the military gave her, and she gave him the copy of what she assumes was her copy. But Tom didn't know. This seemed to please Tom. And the interview was quickly concluded after he received the Halt tape, and he went on his way. A few weeks later, Jenny checked in with the BBC to see when the documentary was going to air because she was really excited to see it. "What program?" came the reply. No one at the BBC knew anything about a proposed UFO documentary, and no one knew of a Tom Adams. So here's a quote from Jenny. Quote, "I do find it odd that he should be particularly insistent about needing the original tape. This rather infers some ulterior motive."
That's,
unquote.
That's so scary. Were they in her house or something?
Doesn't say where it took place. It felt like it was her home because he came to her.
This guy like invaded her space, demanded for her stuff, and gets angry.
It's another
in her
little
house.
Men in Blackish type tie.
That's so scary.
It's dude, like
that's one of the scarier ones actually.
When I read that the first time, it gave me chills. It's just one of those like, you know, it's just that like that twist. Like
yeah.
What BBC?
Like you almost knew the way you set it up, you almost knew it was coming.
Yeah,
but
still
it's still ugh.
And the thing, like, he now thinks, like, they were trying to take the original copy.
Yeah.
And based on her quote, I think she might have been from the UK.
Yeah.
Could be wrong. All right. So let's move on to the third and final odd story. And let me just preface this by saying this story is bonkers. Bonkers.
Okay.
So strap yourself in. We're going on a ride. So this involves Larry Warren. After the 2 days of potential alien encounters and everything with Halt, Charles Halt, and the servicemen, there were additional military personnel around the area in the base. And many of them, according to Larry Warren, had unusual and sophisticated scientific equipment that many of the people around the base weren't accustomed to seeing. Warren, one of the men at the Air Force Base, reported that the military personnel were swarming around the dense, dark woods, seemingly anticipating the return of these lights. In addition to the farm animals nearby, it was claimed that a lot of wildlife, like deer and rabbits, were fleeing the forest in droves, like they knew some strange things were happening. I will say, it could be because these men are in the forest.
In there.
It could be
yeah.
that, but you know, who knows. But they really seemed to be spooked to their cores by something unknown. Warren and a number of his colleagues and friends were ordered to head into the woods, and they weren't given a why, just an order to go into the woods. When the group arrived at a clearing, they could see that the immediate vicinity was lit up by an eerie mist. It felt truly tense, and he could sense his own anxiety along with the entire group's rising. There were countless people swarming around with cameras and other equipment. He immediately knew that something very strange was happening, and he was wondering why he was there. Out of nowhere, there seemed to be a small blue ball of light that headed toward the mist before coming to an immediate stop. It hovered overhead, then there was an intense, powerful flash, and it was gone. He shielded his eyes from the flash, and when he regained focus and his gaze got back to where the blue light had been, he noticed that there was a tiny object that seemed to be almost pyramid-like in shape. Then, something even more incredible happened. A large ball of gold-blue light surfaced from the side of this craft and maneuvered slowly and came to a halt about 3 or so meters before the military personnel. Warren claims that contained within the ball were a trio of 3 small creatures. It was obvious to Warren that these beings were 100% not human. They had large, bulbous heads and cat-like eyes. Everything started getting a bit fuzzy, and he admittedly was in a bit of shock, but he remembers some sort of conversation back and forth between the creatures and a military officer that was nearby. A few moments later, Warren and his group were told to return to the truck that they arrived in. That's it. It's just done. Have fun. Back on your way.
I wish we had more description about the creatures, because he said big heads, cat eyes.
Yeah.
That implies it's humanoid, but it's so creepy.
Yeah. So here's a quote from what happened the next evening. Quote. And it's not his quote. It's a quote from the article, just to be clear, because I say Warren. So it's not an I. It's a, yeah. Quote. Early on the following evening, Warren, on base but off duty at the time, received a phone call. The caller ordered Warren to head down to the dorm parking area and to be there in 20 minutes. He was additionally told to keep a lookout for a dark sedan. Puzzled, Warren did exactly as he was told, and sure enough, there was the car. So Warren walked over to it. With hindsight, that may not have been a good idea. 2 men in black suits directed him to the rear doors of the car. He followed their orders and he got in the vehicle. At that point, things got even weirder. A strange green glow dominated the interior of the sedan. It wasn't like it was illuminated, it was glowing. On top of that, Warren began to feel strange, as if he'd suddenly been drugged. From there, Warren recalls being groggily taken to an underground portion of the base, possibly one that was extremely deep, and where he encountered, from one side of a plexiglass window, what may very well have been something unearthly. In his own words, he says, quote, I stepped into a confined area and felt as if I was no longer on Earth. I found myself looking into a gigantic, dark, cavernous space. It reminded me of the interior of the Houston Astrodome in a strange way. Beads of humidity rolled down the other side of the seamless glass, unquote. A shadowy small figure was vaguely seen behind the glass, and a strange and brief conversation occurred. It was one in which Warren visualized words and pictures in his mind. The entity appeared to know much of Warren's life and indicated it came from a realm which he would never be able to understand. Warren later found himself wandering around the base as his mind finally began to return to normal. Unquote. What are your thoughts, Charlie?
It's creepy. It's really creepy.
Dare I say bonkers?
I'd say it's definitely teetering towards bonkers, yes.
Yeah. So let's get to some sources and some skepticism. So there was a Halt, as in Charles Halt, affidavit. So in June 2010, retired Colonel Charles Halt signed a notarized affidavit in which he again summarized what had happened. Then he stated he believed the event to be extraterrestrial and that, like we said previously, was a cover-up by the UK and the US. In 2010, Base Commander Colonel Ted Conrad provided a statement about the incident. He stated, quote, we saw nothing that resembled Lieutenant Colonel Hull's descriptions either in the sky or on the ground. And we had people in position to validate Hull's narrative, but none of them could. Unquote. So wow. It got slammed down by Conrad.
Of course, they got covered themselves somehow.
Yeah. So let's get to some of the theories about what they might have really seen instead of aliens.
Besides the truth.
One theory is that they really did see a Soviet spy satellite or a ship that fell down.
Really was the Kraken. Not the Kraken.
The Kraken?
The Kraken?
What are you talking about? The octopus thing?
No, there's a name. Never mind. There's a name for Russia with that kind of sound to it.
Oh. I don't know either. I'm sorry.
The Kuklov. I have no idea.
The vodka. So, there's some people claim that maybe it was just a downed Soviet spy satellite. Some people think maybe it was a malfunctioning early stealth plane that came into the woods that had to be hastily retrieved. Could have been a stealth plane. you know, went off course.
Could have been. That have eyes.
Yeah, that blink at you.
Yeah.
And heat the area. Another theory is that it was a meteor.
Uh-huh.
That their initial glowing object that they saw descend was just a fireball. A lot of people sometimes mistake fireballs for UFOs. And apparently in December of 1980, there was one that was reported that fell from the sky that was considered exceptionally bright.
Okay.
Another theory, which I'm not saying this is true. I'm not saying this is what I believe. But I think there's, out of everything we said, I think this could hold some weight.
Okay.
Some people think that it might have just been the lighthouse, the Orphanus White House.
Yeah.
Lighthouse, not White House. Sorry. For one, the lights in the sky came from the same exact direction, east.
Yeah.
Also, a letter dated July 28th, 1999, written by Inspector Mike Topless, noted that one of the police constables who attended the scene on the first night returned to the site in the daylight in case he had missed something, and here's a quote from him. Quote, "There was nothing to be seen, and he remains unconvinced that the occurrence was genuine. The immediate area was swept by powerful light beams from a landing beacon. I know from personnel experience that at night, in certain weather and cloud conditions, these beams were very pronounced and certainly caused strange visual effects. Finally, the timing on Holt's tape recorded during his sighting indicate that the light that he saw, which again was in the same direction as the lighthouse, flashed every 5 seconds, which is the same flash rate as the lighthouse."
Oh,
I know. That's not good. That's not good.
No, that's a nail.
Yeah. And I love this one. I like this. The last theory we'll talk about is bright stars, as in those starlight objects that he saw. They were just stars. They were just stars that were hovering low to the north, low to the south. So that he saw night two.
Yeah.
Like night one, maybe it was a meteor, maybe it was whatever. The bright stars theory is from night two, where he saw the flashing light, which could have been the lighthouse,
mm-hmm.
and then the two lights he saw around the horizon, 10 degrees.
Yeah.
They're saying those could have just literally been stars that maybe were distorted by the atmosphere, or there were some optical effects or something like that.
Maybe his heart rate's up because, you know, who knows what's
just
going
anxious.
On.
Yeah. So those are the theories. Those are the stories. Were there any of those odd stories?
The first one.
You knew the first one.
Yeah.
The other two.
But I did not know that.
I hit my 66%.
You did.
Perfect. Well, with that said, let's head to the discussion. So before we get to the discussion, we like to stop the episode and thank our newest patrons who, as of the recording of this episode, as we're back from our vacations, are Brenna, Oliver, Chris, Luke, and Wesley.
Oh boy.
Yeah, my throat.
Thank you.
Oh man, my throat is feeling it. This has been a long 50 some minutes, but that's okay because I'm enjoying it. And maybe after being edited, maybe it's in the 40 minutes right now.
Probably.
That's fine. Charlie, why don't you highlight something that you really want our new patrons and maybe our existing patrons who might have forgot some cool stuff about the Patreon that they're already in?
Absolutely. Something I want to highlight because it's relevant to my life right now is we're going to watch a movie tomorrow. That tomorrow being Friday.
So last Friday.
Which is something we do every month.
Every month. So you didn't miss it forever. You missed last week.
We sit down, we watch a Netflix movie. You guys get to vote on it. I don't like the options typically. And we watch
this. Because they're horror. Yeah, they're scary.
Because I'm a little chicken. And we watch this Netflix movie. We talk to each other. There's a drink involved. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we use the Chrome extension Teleplay. So that everybody who's watching with us, we have a little chat pop up. So we're all watching it together in real time and we're all chatting about the movie in real time. It's fun.
Yeah, it's a great time. So it's definitely something worth highlighting.
Yeah, yeah. This is something, you know, every now and then we try to reach out, you know, it comes down to schedules and such, but we try to do interviews with the people that send us listener submissions. And most recently, not a listener submission interview, but we actually interviewed James Willis, who is an author and a paranormal researcher.
Yeah.
He's done Weird Ohio. He's done Weird Indiana. He's done a bunch of like collection of anthology ghost stories from Ohio and other states. Really, really well-read, really, really good researcher. He knows his stuff.
Yeah, strange and unique guy. I like him a lot.
And his interview is up on our Patreon right now. It was a good time. But beyond that, we have quizzes. We have fun segments. We do giveaways. We watch movies. We do Google Hangouts. shirt that you get for being in our dedicated tier for 3 months. Tons of bonus extra content, and it's just going to keep on coming. So we appreciate everybody who's joined. And if you're on the fence, check it out. I think you'll like it. With that said, let's get back to the main episode. So is there any, are there any of those, before we get to like the meat of the story, is there any of those theories that you believe that could hold more weight than the actual story? Like, do you think there, it could have been a meteor, could have been the lighthouse, could have been a fallen aircraft?
Do I think it holds more weight? No, but I think it's worth discussing. And I think that's definitely the lighthouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just crazy how a vibe can shift a whole perspective, especially something that's somewhat known, but also could be frightening in that instant. And it matches the report on the tapes, right?
Yeah, with the light.
Yeah.
But I know I've said it a couple of times, but I really do recommend you check out the Halt tapes. Because hearing him experience it in real time is crazy. Like, it just, it doesn't make it more believable, but it kind of does.
It does.
It's like, it's just when you're experiencing something with someone in real time, it's just so different. I agree. I think the lighthouse makes the most sense. If a craft would have fallen, I don't know how it would have been retrieved quickly.
Well, what if?
Yeah.
There is this other dimensional creature living in this humidified environment underneath the UK.
Okay.
But what if,
though? It's humidified?
Well, you said you could see the beads going down, yeah. So I imagine it's a high humidity.
It's tropical under the UK. They're
and chilly. Also, I don't know what kind of image you got when he said bulbous heads and cat eyes.
Mm.
I got, like, small, skinny guys with giant heads and, like, these really...
It's like hair on...
Like, eyes the size like of, like, you know...
Like the cat, like the diamond.
Huge,
yeah, yeah.
Huge
yeah.
eyes. Which makes you think nocturnal, which makes me think hunters, which makes me think very intelligent. It's scary. I mean, it's probably not real.
I will say, moving past the theories, there's two sides to the stories here. There's like the Halt experiences, and then there's like the other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, the other stuff is strange. Like, so that was regression therapy, you know, and like we did the satanic panic, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know how. And it's like no one else there. Like I was trying to, you know, extend an olive branch where I'm like, oh, maybe it was telepathy. That was, you know, but that they didn't say that. That was,
no.
You know, so I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying in terms of things that hold weight, like the Halt's experience and the tapes holds more weight for me than that.
I want it to be an entity that talked to this guy. I really do.
It's not like, if you believe in aliens, it's not ridiculously... Okay, so Larry's experience.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest problem. Why are superiors telling him to go places? He was told to go to the forest. Nothing happened. They brought him back. And then they told him to go in the sedan, brought him underground. And then, like, he didn't have any information.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like... It seemed like both of his experiences were purposeless and just created for the sake of him to experience strange things.
Just to freak him out?
Yeah. Like,
what? That's why they did it.
They really fucking hated Larry.
Yeah, just to mess up his life.
Oh, we hate Larry.
Man.
He's our intern.
Larry
Warren. He's a Warren.
Larry Warren.
We really trust what he has to
say.
Man,
forget Larry Warren. Let's make him sad.
Lorraine Warren. So, like, do I think in terms of entertainment and content, is it amazing? Yeah.
It'd be a great movie.
Like, honestly, just keeping it real, Halt's two experiences is a 15-minute podcast.
Yeah.
You know, so to find this experience is crazy. So, like, where Larry's experience is amazing, but it definitely teeters lower on my believability scale, Jenny's is just like so rooted in reality, but also so terrifying.
Yeah. It's like scary, but also you could see it.
Like, got duped. Like, what was this guy's real intentions?
You think she thought I got duped?
I've been duped. Like, this guy, like, just trying to steal the original copy.
It's scary that he's in her house, interviewing her, and then doesn't do what he says he's going to do.
Yeah.
And gets more aggressive. That's scary.
And it's 80, so she's not like, I'm going to Google this guy and what his LinkedIn says, if he's really affiliated with the BBC.
Mm-mm.
You got to log in and then he'll know that you creeped on him. You know, it's fine. But that story really sticks with me. Like, I would say out of pretty much most of the stories in this episode, that one really hit me. So those are the kind of like the odd stories. I think details from Holt's experience are really stand out to me. Barnyard animals here or there. Some people say it wasn't even them. They're saying it was actually just deer that were just making loud screaming noises. Okay, so there was a landing site.
Yes.
There were impressions in the ground. There were broken branches.
Those impressions necessarily have to be a spaceship, though.
No, I'm not saying I'm saying something happened.
Okay.
There was a landing area, broken branches, impressions in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
There were burn marks on trees, and they felt the heat radiating when they got there.
It's true.
So something happened here.
Yeah. Well, if it wasn't for the impressions, I'd say definitely a meteor, right?
That just burned up completely. Yeah.
Well, maybe.
And left three little marks. It's like, I'm coming down. I'm a little pop, pop, pop.
That's what I'm saying, besides the impressions.
Oh, you know what the meteor noise made?
Yes, it did.
There's one little house. It was one of those tiny houses, those small homes. Like, oh, this is the perfect place. It's nice. It's peaceful. It's quiet. And then boom.
Yeah. Then uprooted.
It's just on three little stands. That's all it needs.
Yes.
But you have to admit, like, whether or not it's alien, whether or not it's UFO, whether something happened.
Something, yeah. It has to be something.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Russian. Maybe it's
like a stealth some other ship, nation. A spy ship. So do you think it landed or do you think it crashed?
If it's on those prongs, I feel like it has to land.
Land, yeah. So that would make sense why it was able to get away.
Yeah.
But also, like, what ship meets the description of what Holt claimed to see? Like, little orb eye. Like, I've never, even like 40 years later, like, we haven't seen a ship like that.
Mm-mm. I don't know. It's weird.
Do you have any other thoughts? Any other, anything you know about it that we didn't cover? Any ideas or beliefs?
I know more about the big ship than you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And like some time discrepancies. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think Holt's descriptions don't match with what other people were saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was about the big ship, right?
Mm-hmm.
That I when I was looking through, I didn't see. I saw one source that had it, and I was like, this is amazing. And I feel bad if I'm leaving out, you know, something potential that's, you know, big, but every other source
it
I looked at.
It seems like that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Larry's. So where do you rank this on our believability scale, which goes from believable to viable to skeptical to unbelievable?
That something happened in Rendlesham?
Rendlesham, yeah.
To make something happen.
Sorry, Rendlesham.
Something happened in Rendlesham. I think it's believable something happened in Rendlesham.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It has to.
Yeah.
Do you? I would say believable something happened, viable paranormal.
I would say, yeah, I think it probably was an alien, but I don't know.
I'd hate for the UK's Roswell to be fake. How embarrassing.
Not like our Roswell.
That's totally real. Even though we can't locate where it was. Oof. There's a really cool video about it in the museum. So that is our episode on the Rendlesham Forest incident. We are back. We're talking aliens, rejuvenated, even though we're both a little under the weather. That's what happens when you're going around
an
entire state in a week.
And the Bahamas.
And the Bahamas.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you listening. We're excited to be back. Again, if you're interested in more bonus content, check out our Patreon. Tons of stuff there going all the way back to May of 2021. We think you'll like it. A lot of stuff out there.
And if you like this episode, please feel free to go to Apple and leave a review in 5 stars and or Spotify and leave 5 stars. That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do. And we did drop that Bad Juju t-shirt. Go check that out if you want to know what it looks like. I'm sure it's on our social media platforms by now. With that said, thank you everybody so much for listening. As always, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Charlie.
And catch us next week on Believing the Bizarre.
A podcast as bizarre as you are. Hey, Tyler.
Yeah.
Why do...
Is this a joke?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do dinosaurs eat food that came from the sky?
Why?
Because they're meteors.
Oh, I see. I see. Carnivores. Yeah. They eat meat. Not all of them. It's good, though. I like it. You want your... I don't know. Nope. Nope. No. There it is, Harry.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So before we get to the discussion, we like to stop. Oh, God.
Did you do that on purpose?
No, I didn't. Where the f*** is it?
It's the... Oh. There you go.
Right here?
No, go back.
Oh, God.